Okay, we're now recording everything, and we'll have this posted on the website as we do the other workshops once this is concluded here. And why don't we start, if everybody who wants to say the Serenity Prayer, you'll have to press star 6 to unmute yourself, and we can start with the Serenity Prayer.
God, I accept the things I can, the courage to change the things I am, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. If everybody could remute themselves, and we'll have plenty of time for questions and answers and comments and opinions and so forth. But I want to begin by reading Tradition 2, just the actual tradition. For our group purpose, there is the one ultimate authority, a loving God, as you may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And with that, we will start the workshop. And my name is Steve, and I am a compulsive eater. And I happen to have different service positions, but the one that I am representing today is I am the phone bridge meeting coordinator. That's different than the phone bridge coordinator. The phone bridge meeting coordinator is the coordinator that deals with any issues about how the meeting is being conducted, complaints about anything going on, opinions about what's going on in a meeting, anything that gets directed to World Service about things that are happening in a meeting get referred back down to that particular position, if the meeting doesn't have a leader and so forth. That the phone bridge meeting coordinator is a different position than the phone bridge coordinator. The phone bridge coordinator is if people are just having technical difficulties, you know, I tried to call in and I couldn't get in, or I get a busy signal, or I get disconnected all the time, something technical with the, that goes to the phone bridge coordinator. But this is dealing specifically with the meeting. So in that role, since I deal with questions all the time about meetings, that this is what I'm giving the workshop about. And we, as my other role, here on the phone bridge, among many, as phone bridge intergroup chair, I'm speaking now for the executive board as well, that we thought it would be good to have a training for new leaders, and then we decided that we'd open it up to anybody that's a leader or maybe even a potential leader. Anybody interested in leading a meeting wants to know what it's about and things that might help them be a better leader, we thought we would go over. And I put together a handout, which I ran by the executive board and got their input on, and if anybody wants a copy of this handout, this probably got more than what I'm going to be able to talk about today and share with you. You can send an email to phonebridgemeetinginfo@gmail.com, phonebridgemeetinginfo@gmail.com, and that way I can keep track of who wanted what, because if you send it to any other email that I have, it gets not lost, but it gets consumed with everything else there. So it would be good to use that email address. But the first thing that I want to make everybody aware of, if you're a leader, is understanding what your role is in this thing called the group. And I find that we talk about, you know, quote unquote, the meeting, but really, it's important to understand that we don't have meetings here in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How. We have groups, and the group has this thing called a meeting, but it's the group that is really the key unit here. And I think it's important for everybody to understand what it means to be a member of the group, of a group, rather than just quote-unquote attending a meeting. And as a leader, the reason why I read Tradition 2 is that you're one of the trusted servants for the group by being a leader. And I think it's important to understand what exactly is meant by a group here and see how. If you haven't done so, if you go to the general See How website, the CEAHOW.org website, and you look up the service structures, and you'll see World Service, and under World Service, you'll see bylaws, and under bylaws, you'll see all the things that run CHOW as a whole. And if you go to Article 19 of the CHOW World Service bylaws, you'll see under Article 19 different things to talk about what makes a group and who can belong to a group and how a group is formed and so forth, and what it means to be part of a group. And I think it's really important that everybody that is a leader, that they understand what it means to be part of a group. And even if you're just doing the service once a month as a leader, yeah, I think it's important to understand what it means to be part of the group. It's not just checking in once a month and reading a format and then waiting till the next month to do it again, but there's a lot of responsibilities that go along with, quote-unquote, being a leader in a group. I think the most important thing that I want to mention out of these bylaws, and in the handout, I copied the first five items that are there under Article 19, but there's one that I think is very, very important, and this is the following, that a group may place no qualification or prerequisite on any individual who desires to attend a meeting or participate in a group other than a willingness to follow the CHOW philosophy. Failure to follow the CHOW philosophy or to complete any aspect of the CHOW program shall not be grounds for expulsion, discipline, or censure. The group does not expect for perfection, but only strives to support effort. And the reason why I'm reading this particular section is that I think we've got a duty as a leader to make sure that the people that are participating in the group or attend one of the meetings where you're the leader of, that it's very important that they have a willingness to follow the CHOW philosophy. And you may be asking yourself, I didn't know that CHOW had a philosophy. And if you look farther up in the first couple of sections, it talks about as a group, we meet to practice the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, the CHOW concept, and the 7 tools of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HOW. And the spiritual principles and the philosophies that are contained in those 4 documents, which are required readings at each of our meetings, they determine what our philosophy is, and people have to have a willingness to follow that particular philosophy. However, if they don't follow that philosophy, as a leader, we cannot tell somebody, I'm sorry, you can't be a member here, you can't chair, or we have to kick you out. But we can, as leaders, remind people that we need everybody to follow the CHOW philosophy and to hold the traditions and so forth. So as a leader, we have a responsibility to make sure that that is being done. And it goes a little, that goes beyond more than just, quote-unquote, what I call being the reader for the meeting, where I'm just reading the format and just letting people share and crosstalk go on and other things happen that we'll mention here as we discuss some do's and don'ts in the meeting. But I think it's really, really important that as a leader, we have a responsibility to make sure that people have the willingness to adhere to the CHOW philosophy. And the reason why I bring that up, and we'll be talking about some of this when I talk about duties, when I share a little bit here about duties of a leader, is that I get quite a few emails every now and then from people telling me after the meeting has long been over that such and such went on in the meeting and nobody did anything about it. The leader didn't say anything, nobody spoke up, and of course I always ask the person writing the email, why didn't they speak up? And why didn't they say something? And they were waiting for the leader to be able to do something. But I think it's very, very key that we review the bylaws. And if you're interested, not just the bylaws for sections that cover the group, but also covers inner group, covers area, covers our whole service structure, and it really talks about what the group is and its role and in the service structure. And the group is very, very important because we have the individual member at the top of this upside-down triangle that we always like to refer to, so that the individual member, quote-unquote, is the most important. And then the next level is the group. And everybody that goes to a meeting is also a member of a CHOW group, and it comes with certain rights, responsibilities, privileges, and so forth. And knowing what those are is really, really key. And, you know, they're there on the web, and I suggest you take a look at them. They're not that difficult to understand, but it does place those that are leading meetings as the role of a trusted servant, but also as somebody that the group has allowed to be able to say, this is how this group runs based on whatever comes out of the business meeting, and they get to uphold the CHOW philosophy and so forth. So it's a very important position. It's not something that should be taken lightly by anybody. It doesn't mean that you get to govern and make your own rules and regulations, but it does mean that you have certain rights and responsibilities to ensure that the meeting is a place where, quote-unquote, recovery from compulsive eating by following our 12 steps, 12 traditions, CHOW concept, and the 7 tools can be done safely, securely, and allow all to want to and follow that practice and philosophy to do so. And to me, it's I'm very, very passionate about that, and I think that it's very, very key. And I've outlined also what I believe the duties of a leader are, and I'm just going to read them, and you can take some notes, and then I'm going to allow plenty of time for questions and answers and comments and opinions and so forth. And nobody need to take what I'm saying as this is the way we think it should be done. I'm just throwing out some ideas about how things have worked well for myself and for others. And so we're trying to give everybody some idea of some quote-unquote good practices. I'm not going to use the word best because that would imply that it has to be this way. Anything else is not up to some standard. But these are some practices that have helped us. So let's talk about the duties of a leader. First and foremost, you're a leader. You're not, quote-unquote, the chief reader. This means you have a responsibility to make the meeting a safe place for all, and most importantly, adheres to the CHOW philosophy, as we said. It's really important to start the meeting on time, and it's also very important to end the meeting on time. Sometimes people run out of time or they run the meeting over. It's very important to start and stop on time whenever running a meeting, and you need to ensure that the 4 program readings are read, and that's what makes it a CHOW meeting, according to World Service and the fact that the group is registered with them. And those 4 readings are the 12 steps of CHOW, not the 12 steps of some other fellowship, the 12 steps of CAHOW, the 12 traditions of CEAHOW, the CHOW concept, and the 7 tools of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HOW. Those 4 readings always have to be read, and that's what makes it a CHOW meeting. What people call Chapter 5, what people call the promises, what people call any other kind of reading, you can do as long as it's quote-unquote conference approved. But it has to have those 4 readings if it's going to be a CHOW meeting. That is key. Okay, which means that your format that you use, what your business meeting decides should be in or out of the format, that is completely up to the group, but those 4 readings always have to be a part of the meeting, okay, to make it a CHOW meeting and to keep your registration as a group here in CAHOW. Okay, it's very important to run an orderly meeting. It means that if you have time shares, if that's what the group has decided. I've been on meetings sometimes where there's very few people and the group decides not to have time shares. So time shares is up to your group, and it's through the business meeting that that's determined. So each group determines its time shares and how they're going to run that. There should be no crosstalk, but again, the group has to decide that. There's nothing that says that you have to have a statement about crosstalk, but we find that meetings where we encourage no crosstalk is a good thing. And when there are people that are disrupting the meeting through various means, You can do the following, and I find that a lot of people don't realize they can do this. One, as a leader, you can remind people that no crosstalk, and please stop that kind of sharing if you feel that it is indeed crosstalk. You can do a mass mute so that no one can talk, and you can ask for a moment of silence before you allow people to unmute themselves. So if you're not aware of it, as you go through the codes there to mute the line, there's one that says everybody is muted, and they can't unmute themselves unless you put on the mute function that allows them to unmute themselves. So you can always do a mass mute and get a moment of silence. You can call for the serenity prayer. You can remind everybody this is a safe place. And you can remind people of the traditions. The tradition one, common welfare comes first. You can remind people, if people aren't sharing about singleness of purpose, that we had through tradition five, you can discuss singleness of purpose. You can discuss changes to whatever you'd like, you see going on in your meeting, in the business meeting, following tradition two. And you can always remind people about tradition 12, placing principles before personalities. I find that use of the traditions, this is just my personal opinion, I find that the use of traditions or the lack of the use of traditions at our meetings could be somewhat disconcerting at times, because a lot of it could be handled by making people aware of our traditions. And if you as a leader yourself are not fully aware of the traditions, I always encourage everybody to go through the traditions workbook, where you like through the steps, you work through the traditions with your sponsor, and hopefully your sponsors work through the traditions. And it's good to understand where the traditions came from, when to use them, when not to use them, and what they allow to be done at a meeting. There's some really good advice in there. And this is what you can't do. You can't kick people out of a meeting, so you can't tell somebody, please leave the meeting and never come back. You cannot do that. You can't take away their See How membership. And you can't ban someone from sharing before they share. Okay? Because we don't know what they're going to say. Just because they say their name is, I'll just make up a name, their name is Frank and they want to share, or their name is Francine and they want to share. And you go, you know what, I'm tired of hearing that person. I'm sorry, you cannot share. You don't have the right to do that. But you do have the ability, if somebody becomes disruptive, to do the variety of things that I've mentioned here. Okay? And other things that come up, what if people share specific religions, political viewpoints, benefits of another 12-step program, not just in passing? And you can, as a leader, you should interject immediately if you find that they're going off on that kind of tangent. And you can, again, mention the traditions that remind us that we have singleness of purpose, and that it's principles before personalities, and the See How philosophy, and so forth, and nip things right in the bud right away if you feel that it's going down a path that it shouldn't go. But again, that's the right that, as a leader, that you have. I think it's really important that people understand this concept when they are in a service position, particularly a leadership position, that you have what we call the right of decision, meaning that something has gone on that might eventually have to be discussed in a business meeting or with the group as a whole to get some further input. But at the time, since the group has made you, quote-unquote, the leader for that particular meeting, that you have the right to make decisions that come before you quickly and for the sake of the group. You know, if you sit back and say, okay, this has happened, I'm just going to let it go and I will discuss it later on, that's one way to do it, but you've given up your right to, quote-unquote, do some of the things that your group has allowed you to do. So on the one hand, you don't govern and can't make up the rules about how the meeting's exactly going to be run. You do have the right to make sure how the meeting is run, and the group has given you the ability to do that with the tools that you have at your dispense there. Okay? When it comes to announcements, you want to make sure that the intergroup rep makes the announcements. Most people allow that. And if your group decides, again, this can be done through the business meeting of the group, or if you are running out of time and you only have time for the intergroup announcements, you don't have to allow others to make announcements if you don't want to, you know. And but again, that should be discussed with the group. A lot of times people just are reading, they don't realize what they're reading, and the next thing you know, you've got 20 minutes of announcements, and people are going, why are we having all these announcements? So even when it comes to announcements, the group has the right to limit the announcements. You as leader and managing the time have the right to limit the announcements as well. Just because people want to make announcements doesn't give them, quote-unquote, necessarily the right to make announcements. That's something you as a leader have to govern with respect to the amount of time, and it varies from meeting to meeting. And you can always remind people that if they miss the announcements or want to get more, hear more announcements, they can go to the seehow.org website. There's plenty of events announced there. And they can always call the number that I think everybody has in their format, or most people do, and say, you can call this line and here's how you can get the announcements, you know, or they can contact the intergroup rep and the intergroup rep can read them the announcements again if they'd like. There's always a variety of ways to get the announcements. And again, if you're concerned about the amount of time that announcements are taking up at the meeting, it's something to bring up to the group at their business meeting and you can discuss and go forward from there with that. So I'm going to, that's the main points that I wanted to discuss and bring up before everybody. And I have Linda M. on the line, and she is helping me with this. And so I'm going to ask her if she wants to add any comments, and then we can open it up for Q&A and opinions and so forth.
Hey, good Linda morning. Thank you, Linda M., contributor. At this point, no, I don't. I'm just looking forward to questions.
Okay.
Thank you for putting
And what we'll do is this. Thanks, Linda. What we'll do is... Yes, Adele.
Yeah, I have some couple of things that I wanted to kind of mention before you open up to everybody else. They might want to have questions on this, too, if that's okay.
Okay, Adele, go right ahead. Adele's our phone bridge treasurer, so Adele, go right ahead.
Okay, one of the things I wanted to bring up... Okay, thank you. One of the things I wanted to bring up, when some of the secretaries reading about how to make payments, they go into the Postal Service's snail mail, and I don't, you know, see where there's anything on the format that said that, and that's an outside issue. So they need to stick to, you can mail your money to a P.O. Box, what, you know, whatever. And also, I wanted to bring up, I have been on some business meeting where they take a vote to, when they don't take a vote, what they do is they, week one is, they'll say, Susan, do you want to keep week one? And that's no way to run a, you know, rotation of leadership. You know, if she did her 6 months, you should open it up to somebody else. And if nobody else take it, maybe you might want to ask Susan if she want to keep her, the first week of, the first Tuesday or what have you. And so, because it's not, you know, it's not rotating when you just keep saying every 6 months I'm going to keep week one of the Tuesday meeting. And also, if you feel something need to be changed on your format, you should get called for a business meeting. We, you know, we don't have the right to change anything without the group conscious. And pretty much, you know, mostly just stick to the format because, you know, that's your group made the format. They voted on it, and we need to stick to it. And I think that's pretty much, we need to rotate leaders every 6 months. And I find out that sometime when people have stayed in their position for more than 6 months, it it become a little, you know, to me, it become a little bit controlling, but that's just my opinion only. Okay, thank you. I think that's all I have to say. Thanks, Steve.
Okay. Thank you, Adele. Okay, we'll now open up the floor for questions, opinions, comments, anything that we'd like to say, have require additional information about. Now it's time to do so. We've got a little over 30 people on the line, so we've got some great attendance here. So hopefully we have a nice discussion here for the rest of our time here.
Oh, hi, Steve. It's Susie, Compulsive Eater. I have a question.
Hi, Susie.
Yeah, I have
been afraid
in the past to lead meetings because I don't know any of the codes. How do I get a list of the codes so I don't mute everybody or do something silly during the meeting?
That's a very good question. So if you're a member of a group that is looking for a leader for a particular time slot or day, and you step up and volunteer for that, whoever is the business chair and or the leader that you're taking over for, they should be able to pass on to you the leader code and the rest of the code that you will need to run the meeting. We don't make those publicly available. Either the leader code or the leader pin to get into the meeting and the rest of the codes. It goes from leader to leader.
Okay, thank you.
So you can get those. So in other words, the very first time I became a leader, somebody gave me the leader codes, and they gave me all the different functions that I can access under that code to mass mute the line, to see how many people are on, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody should be worried about that. If that's what's stopping you from becoming a leader, I encourage you to become a leader, and you can always make sure you get the codes.
Mm-hmm. This is Donna, Compulsive Eater. I have a couple questions. One,
hey, Donna.
Hi. Is there any abstinence? What is the abstinence requirement to be a leader? And two, how do the business meetings run? Like, is each meeting have a business meeting? You know, like if Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., do they have separate business meetings or do they have one business meeting? So more information on the business meetings, how they go, how they get scheduled, if a different person chairs those business meetings, and then secondly, mm-hmm. the abstinence requirements. Thank you.
Right. The abstinence requirement, unless something has changed, to be a leader of a meeting is 90 days, because that's what you need. You need 90 days to be able to start a meeting and lead a meeting. So you need 90 days of abstinence to be a leader. And you, as far
Steve?
As the business, yes.
Steve, this is Joanne, Compulsive Eater, and I believe it's 30 days to be a leader.
And for a face-to-face meeting, it was 90 days.
30 days,
you could...
Phone bridge.
It's 30 days for the phone bridge? Okay, I stand corrected. 30 days.
No, 90 days to be an intergroup rep, but 30 days to be a meeting leader. Thank you.
Okay, 30 days of abstinence to be a meeting leader. Okay. Anyhow, 30 days of abstinence to be a meeting leader. And the business meeting, each group, each day of the week, each time slot on that week, each of those is formed as what we call a See How group. So each one of those meetings, so for example, I'm just going to pick a meeting at random here, the Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that meeting governs itself. There's nobody that governs that meeting but that meeting, and they have a business meeting, or they should if they're a well-functioning group, that the Tuesday, I don't know anything about the Tuesday 7 a.m. meeting, so I'm not picking on them in any way, but they should have a business meeting that they should announce when that business meeting is, and that's where that group takes care of it. The Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern time, that's a separate group, and they have their own business meeting. So Tuesday could decide the following. I'm just using this as an example. Tuesday could decide that, for example, we don't want timeshares, and the Wednesday morning 7 a.m. meeting can decide they want timeshares, or one can say we don't want announcements, the other one can. But they should, each group should have a business meeting where they have a business chairperson that conducts it. It has a secretary, and they elect the leaders for the various time slots that they have meetings for. They deal with any issues. They can make changes to the format. They discuss something that they want their intergroup rep to discuss at the intergroup meeting. They can make motions that they want carried forward, and so on and so forth. But each group should have has its own business meeting, and therefore each group has its own intergroup rep, and each group has a say. Now, given that it's nobody regulates this, but it really we operate under the guiding principle that you belong to one group at a time. It doesn't mean you can't go to more groups, but there should only be one group where you vote and participate. But we don't police that, but that's ideally the way that a group is set up, that the group is dealing with the group. If you go to like six meetings a week, you know, and you're voting each time in that meeting for something to go forward to intergroup, you've just given yourself six votes, and other people that follow that principle will therefore only have one vote, so it's good that you decide which group you're quote-unquote a member of, even though we attend more than one meeting per week.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Steve?
Yes.
Hi, this is Jeanette. I have a question.
Yes,
hi, Jeanette Capacita. I was wondering, okay, I'm a leader. If I'm a leader and somebody, they read out the big book or the 12 and 12, something that says alcohol, can they change it from alcohol to food, or it has to be the same? Have to be the same, as exactly as it's written in the big book or 12 and 12.
AA asked us years ago not to make any changes when reading aloud.
So when they do that, you should stop them right away?
You can stop them and say, please do not substitute when reading aloud here at this meeting.
Okay.
Please.
Thank you.
Always please, but yes. In fact, we had a letter was even written from AA General Service to see how to not make that substitution.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be just as it's written.
Hey, Steve, is it
well? I said we should. Yes.
I'm sorry. You paused for a second. I'm sorry. Okay, what about the athamine? We don't have any control over the athamine. Can they read it in the athamine to change the word?
The meeting starts, except for a couple. They hold on one second. I'm going to answer it. The official CHOW meeting runs for 1 hour. When that hour is done, there is the meeting in the Serenity Prayer is said, the meeting is closed. What is said after the meeting is said after the meeting. I'm talking about during the meeting.
Right. I just want to get clarity. Yeah, thank you.
Well, I want to be clear, when the meeting is closed, whatever happens after the meeting is stuff that happens after the meeting. It's not governed by the meeting one way or the other.
This is Donna, compulsive eater.
Yeah, Donna.
I want to thank you. You're doing a fabulous job. Thank you so much. I want to follow up on the business meeting. Who leads the business meeting? If you have, do you have a separate chair for your business meeting, or is it the
you should
the leader?
Yes.
Or the leader.
You should have a separate chair. No, you should have a separate person. It could be the leader. I mean, in some meetings, one of the leaders or the leader for the meeting also is the business chair, but doesn't have to be. If the meeting is large enough, usually there's a different person is the business chair and a different person is the secretary for the business meeting as well. And usually it's held right after. So what a lot of meetings will do, they'll close their meeting, and then they'll have a business meeting. And the business meeting could be anywhere from 5 minutes all the way to 15 minutes. And, in fact, depending upon when the next meeting starts, the business meeting can go for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Steve?
Yes.
Yes, this is Lily in Idaho. Will you be addressing in your handout about how the business meeting, the service positions in that business meeting and how it's held?
I can. Usually you have a business. I can just cover it real briefly. You usually have a business chair, and you also have a business meeting secretary. You have two service positions that the group usually has for their business meeting as a rule. And the intergroup rep will usually read the minutes from the intergroup meeting at that meeting. Any business that needs to be discussed by the group is done at that meeting and so forth. But I can put some things down about that in the handout if you'd like.
Yeah, especially when someone is making a motion, you need a first and then a second motion on something to be voted on.
If the group has decided to follow some type of Robert's Rules of Order, then yes.
Okay.
But the group can run very informally as well.
Okay, it can be.
It all depends how the group wants to run.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if the group says, hey, what does everybody think about this? And there's a consensus that, hey, that's a good thing to do, let's do it. And everybody goes, fine, we'll now do that.
Okay.
It can be that simple.
Mm-hmm. All right, simple. Okay, that's what we're trying to get. We're trying to get things very simple in our face-to-face meetings.
Hi, okay. I have a question. It's Susie again.
Yeah. Yes, Susie.
In the Forever Abstinent book, under meetings, it states those members who have at least 7 days of continuous CEA, how abstinence may pitch. However, I know that there are some sponsors that allow the sponsee to share on the seventh day. However, it used to be that you had to finish the seventh day. I know I've binged on the seventh day at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know if there's a special rule or if it's up to the sponsor. If they get to 7 days, they're allowed, even if they haven't finished their third meal. Thank you.
Well, as I always like to say, whenever it comes to counting, there are three types of people who can count, those who can and those who can't. Some people will get that, some people won't. But you know, unless we have a way of even verifying that the person who says today is this day, you know, that we take people on their word. So if people have less than 30 days, we assume that they've discussed their sharing with their sponsor, whatever that means, and that they've worked that out. That's between the sponsor and the sponsee and God. They will work that out. But we have no way of verifying it. So if you're asking me my personal opinion, that you need 7 full days of abstinence, which means you could share that on your 8th day. But others may disagree, and I have no problem with that. But whatever people are calling 7 days, some people do 7 days in 3 days. So people decide for themselves what that means according to the guidelines as they are stated, because they all go by the same guidelines. But it doesn't say you must complete all 3 meals in order to get 7 full days of abstinence. But 7 full days of abstinence meaning that you've completed 7 full days. So on the 8th day, you would be starting your 8th day, but you will have completed 7 full days. That's how I interpret that. If you're asking me my opinion, interpret that. Others may disagree.
Hi, this is Kim. I'm in Texas. I have a question about a group conscience. Would a leader initiate, or would there be a group conscience taken outside of a business meeting? That's the question.
Can you take not if it's affecting the group, because it has to be usually a group conscience is just not taken on the fly, so to speak. You know, it's something that the group needs to consider and weigh in on, and all members need to be aware that we're going to have a business meeting and we're going to discuss the group conscience. A leader shouldn't just say, hold on, time out, we need to have a group conscience like right now. You know, if the leader, if something needs to be undertaken, the leader has the right to say, hey, hold on, time out, you know, for right now we need to do this, but we can bring it up for the whole group later on or something, if it's something that they feel they need to interject right then.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, this is Lily again. This
yes.
question has mm-hmm. been brought up. What is considered old business?
what's considered old business. So the group decides at their business meeting, somebody makes a motion that we want to have 5-minute timeshares, okay? I'm just making something up. And it gets discussed, and they can't reach a decision at that business meeting. So when they have their next business meeting, that would be old business because it's something that didn't get resolved, but it's already been brought up to the group, and the group needs to consider it and take action on it.
Anything that's carried over wasn't acted on
from the previous business meeting.
Right. Thank you for the clarity on it.
You're welcome.
This is Laura in Durango, Colorado.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. So I understand what you said about a group conscience for things that are set up for the whole group, but there's nothing wrong with taking a meeting conscience if needed just very quickly to say, do you want share, since there are only three of us, shall we let chairs be longer than 3 minutes tonight, or is there something wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that, but the leader in that case can just go ahead and make that decision on their own if they want to.
Okay. Thank you.
That's what I'm saying. There are some times where the leader just needs to, in their role as a trusted servant, make a decision that seems to make sense for the group without violating, quote-unquote, what the group has decided. So in other words, if the group has decided that there's going to be 3-minute chairs and for some reason the leader goes, tonight we're having 1-minute chairs, take it or leave it, you know, the leader doesn't have the right to do that. But they have the right, given the how the meeting is going and managing the time, they can say, tonight instead of 3-minute chairs, there's only 5 of us on the meeting, let everybody share, we'll do 6-minute time chairs, or we won't time at all. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the leader feels more comfortable getting a consensus from the meeting, they can say, what does everybody think? And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
One more question. Mm-hmm. I was on an after meeting a while back. Someone was speaking of Chinese medicine, and another person interrupted and said, that has nothing to do with CHOW. It sounds like they didn't have a right to say that because it was an after meeting, correct?
As far as I'm concerned, there is no such thing as the after meeting. There's the meeting, and then there is time until the next meeting.
And we can discuss anything we want.
If people stay on the phone line between the time one meeting is officially ended and the next meeting officially starts, if they want to discuss politics, and that's how they, or whatever they want to do, Chinese medicine, witchcraft, every major religion, whatever they want to do, there is nothing that says that they can't. Now, there are some meetings in the olden days, what we used to do, and I'm just saying what we used to do, and this is just a practice, but then somebody's got to be able to police it and run it, is that we used to use that time right after the meeting ended as a place where people that were brand new to the fellowship and had questions like, how do I get a sponsor? What is a sponsor? What do you mean by a food plan? You know, what does it mean to actually weigh and measure? Whatever questions people might have about the program, somebody that was knowledgeable about the program, and I'll leave knowledgeable up to anybody's opinion of what that means, but somebody who was quote-unquote knowledgeable about the program would say, I will be here for the newcomer after the meeting. And that person would go, I'll just use myself as an example. My name is Steve, and do we have anybody who's new has any questions? And after all the questions were exhausted by the newcomers that were on that meeting, I would say, thank you very much, and see you all later, and I would hang up. And whatever happened after I hung up, nobody was policing. Now we want to have fellowship time, after meeting time, this time, that time, and it's gone from what the original intent was years ago, that a place where the newcomer could ask their questions, because they weren't able to ask the questions in the meeting, it's gone now to a free-for-all discussion about anything. And nobody is policing it, and I don't know if anybody has the ability to police it or wants to police it, or, you know, people want to say don't talk about certain things, or they go back and forth, or they're having fights during that time between when the meeting ended and the next meeting started. Have at it. but
Hello,
we've lost lost control of that space. Yes.
This is Jeanette again. I thought it was like that because, like, when after the meeting, the official meeting, they say it's open up for newcomers and any questions, and then they keep on, and no newcomer speaks up, so then they open up for whoever needs to share. Is that how it's supposed to go?
It can go any way it wants to because the meeting is over. It's not part of a see-how meeting.
Right.
They can talk about anything they want. They don't even have to talk about food. If they want to talk about, they want to talk anything they want, anybody is allowed to say anything they want on that thing now. It's completely gone out of control, and anybody who wants to say anything is allowed to say anything. And if groups want to make it so that it goes back to where this is for the newcomers, they need to decide that. And somebody who steps up says, this is just time for newcomers to ask questions, get additional phone numbers, whatever it is, just for the newcomer. And once newcomer's done, they should then, whatever happens after that, who knows? You know, when the next meeting starts, the people that were yakking about whatever they're yakking about have got to stop so the next meeting can start. Right. That is clear.
Thank you so much.
Because the next meeting has to start on time.
Okay.
Yes.
Great job. Mm-hmm. Great meeting. I'm glad I'm listening. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You still have time. We'll go all the way up till noon, my time, which is mountain time, but we still got about 14 minutes left for questions, opinions, comments. You don't even have to
Hello, this
questions.
Is Joy.
Say something.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Joy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. Go ahead. No.
This
go
is
ahead.
Joy Compulsive Eater.
I just have to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is Joy Compulsive Eater. If we run close to the time in the fellowship meeting to the next meeting, do we have to hang up and come back on the line for that meeting to run smoothly?
If somebody can dial in the bridge, I guess, anytime they want, and they can stay on for 24 hours at a time. I don't know if you'd get kicked off. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, because somebody at one time, they said to me, oh, we all have to get off and get back on. From the fellowship
Why?
Time, it went on and on and on. I don't know. It won't run right or something. I don't know. That's what they said. All right. I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
I don't know. I think everybody – no, I think you can just stay on. The leader – The whoever is the leader should get off so that the next leader can get on with no problem and do what they need to do. But people can stay on. They just need to stop talking so that the leader for the next meeting can begin the meeting. But I don't think anybody that's just on as a regular member needs to get off.
This is Laura again. Thank you so much, Steve, for doing this, and Linda, too. I just want to make a suggestion, take it or leave it, but if a group decides to have something specific that they want at group conscience for the after meeting, I believe, just because I'm a person who volunteers for it often, I would like for that group to say, is there someone willing to lead this meeting with our guidelines or something else, or just state the guidelines real quickly. So I'm not doing it wrong if I volunteer. Just a suggestion. Thanks.
Yeah, that would be up to the group. If the group decides that they want when the meeting ends for certain things to be done right after the meeting ends, they want somebody to do it, and here are the guidelines, the group would be free to do that, and they would be able to grab that space and govern it before anybody else could get in and do something with it.
Steve?
And as
go ahead, finish.
No, I was just going to say, as I hear myself say that, I think most people say so that anyone who did not get a chance to share or has more to share can share. So,
but that's up to the group. The group needs to decide that. The group needs to decide if they want to start off that way. That's all I'm saying. I mean, they can do it that way.
Thanks.
Afterwards, the meeting ends, the group can, the people can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Linda M., and I just want to reiterate what Steve had said earlier, that after, that 1 hour when the meeting ends, certainly the group can do anything afterwards. However, it's still not officially part of the meeting. And one thing that some meetings have done is to add 15 minutes onto their meeting, at which point that is still part of the official meeting. If that makes sense. So in the after meeting, people start talking about Siha and then start, you know, again, flipping into politics or other diet programs, whatever, it's not really officially part of the meeting. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Steve, so I can understand what Linda said. So in other words, if we have a meeting that happens to have a speaker and the meeting, it goes from, say, 7 to 8:15, well, those 15 minutes is still part of the official group meeting, right?
The meeting is not over till the leader says the meeting is now closed.
Okay, thank you. And
so
one thing,
as long as the meeting doesn't run into the next meeting coming up, there's no reason why the meeting can't extend itself 15 minutes.
Right.
Even the meeting wants to make it, for some reason, an hour and a half, it can do that.
Yeah.
But all that time then is governed by the meeting and the philosophy of see how and so forth. It doesn't mean because the meeting is now gone an extra 15 minutes, for example, as Linda pointed out, it doesn't mean that the group can now have a free-for-all for 15 minutes. It still has
to,
you still need 7 days of abstinence to share. You still need 30 days without discussing with your sponsor, and you need to stick to the See How philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I have heard a lot of leaders say, fellowship time is a time for new members, returning members, to ask questions, and also for ones that were not able to share during the meeting, this is a time when you can share. And so it's pretty well listed as to who or what happens during that fellowship time.
It doesn't matter what the group says. Once the meeting is closed, you know, the group can only govern the space a little bit, but it can't do anything else.
I see. Okay.
Because the meeting is done. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been to a face-to-face meeting. It doesn't have to be in CL, but in any meeting, people hang out in the parking lot after meetings and all sorts of stuff gets said. They would never get stated in a meeting. People have all sorts of opinions, ideas. They want to talk about whatever, and they sit in the parking lot and they chat about it, you know, whatsoever. I remember one time I was in a face-to-face meeting for CHOW, and there weren't enough people to fill up the whole time that the meeting was going, and so they said, we're going to close the meeting early and then open it back up and let people who don't have the abstinence requirement share. And so when they closed the meeting, I got up and left, and this woman yelled at me. She says, where are you going? And I said, the meeting's over. I'm leaving. She says, I want to be able to share, and I don't have the abstinence requirement. You need to sit down and listen to me. And I said, I'm sorry, the meeting's over, and I walked out.
Mm-hmm.
Once the meeting is closed, the meeting is closed. And what happens after that, you know, we provide the service for the newcomer. We provide a service for the newcomer in a lot of meetings so that they can ask questions and so they can start the program right away, you know. But it doesn't, but to open it up and let people yak about whatever they want to yak about, that's something that's way outside of whatever we do here, and it's got nothing to do with anybody, and nobody should try to perhaps even moderate it or limit or whatever. It's just wasting time on their part, you know. If people want to have a free-for-all after the meeting, let them have a free-for-all after the meeting, I guess. You know, the line's available to, like I said, till the next meeting starts. Better, nobody's going to police it.
And Steve, it's Adele again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we don't post it in a meeting early, according to World Service. We have things that we can do. We can do some reading out of the AA big book. We can do
There's
meditation.
All sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Amen. Yes. Definitely. No reason to ever close the meeting early. I don't care how many people are on the line. Just keep reading. Keep sharing. Mm-hmm. People share multiple times. That's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. I have another question.
Yes, Susie. Go right ahead.
It's about crosstalk. I don't know how to put this. How is everything going with it? Do some meetings, are they lacking, you know, drawing boundaries? Or
is everything going well with the crosstalk? Because I know years ago it was a real stickler in how that we couldn't talk about outside issues. And I once stood up at an open meeting and said I went to a movie. And I wasn't promoting it, but then they told me afterwards, you do not mention a movie, even though it had 12-step meetings in it. And my motives were good. They told me afterwards, do not ever do that again. And sometimes I hear people mention a book or a, so, you know, how strict do we have to be with that?
I will say this, and this is just, again, my personal observation, opinion, view, is that I hear this crosstalk statement read at our meetings, and there has yet to be a meeting that I've gone to where there has not been crosstalk. That's all I will say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Steve. This is Sheila Bean. I'd like to know what your definition of crosstalk is, to be honest with you, when you're doing a meeting.
My personal opinion is,
yeah.
I am personally opposed to any mention of there's no crosstalk at this meeting. I don't believe that. I personally have never cared to hear that statement read.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
That's just my personal opinion. We have other ways to run the meeting other than say that's crosstalk, because we even mentioned these days, you shouldn't even say somebody did a good job, and we hear all the time,
speaker
was great, fantastic, and I go, why do we bother to read that thing? I have no problem with people saying somebody did a good job. In fact, I'm pleased when people say to somebody, especially when they're speaking for the first time, wow, for your first time, that was a great lead, you know, thanks so much for participating. I see nothing wrong with that. If others do, you know, I don't know. I don't think we need to be that rigid, but that's just my personal opinion. But groups like to have that crosstalk read, but I have yet to see it really enforced by anybody. I've never been to a meeting where somebody said, I'm sorry, that's crosstalk. Maybe I'm not going to enough meetings, but I've never seen it. Doug.
I've seen it. I haven't seen it, but I heard it. I heard it once. At a meeting, someone spoke up and said, that's crosstalk. What you're doing is not nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think, I'll be honest with you, when I run a meeting, when people see it, this is what I do. I mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I guess. But I always say, thank you, I appreciate it. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Because I think people that are compulsive overeaters, to be honest with you, is that we need positive feedback. We need positive feedback. We need someone to say, hey, Steve, you did a great job today, and I appreciate what you did, all the service and stuff that you've given.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I kind of find it sometimes kind of dangerous, because when they think one person more, like, oh, you know, they go into this glorious thank you, thank you, thank you.
No.
Okay, Sheila, I'm talking right now, dear.
Go ahead, Adele.
Okay, you might want to mute, because I can hear you. I was going to say, when they go into one glorious thank you, let's say for Jane, and then the next person, thank you. You know, it's just, it's kind of like make them feel like they sure wasn't good enough. And I have heard that, and then also when we have a speaker and stuff, oh, I knew you 5 years ago, we went to meetings together, and I used to spend the night at your house. That's not sharing. That's speaking directly to somebody else, and that's crosstalk too. So it could be dangerous in a meeting to do that kind of stuff, and especially when you got newcomers on the meeting, it's like, wow, they thank that person, several times, and they only, did a dry thank you to the next person. But, okay, I'll mute.
Okay.
Hi,
this is Susan,
compulsive eater. I didn't get a chance to speak yet, and I know maybe other people have spoken a few times. Thank you. Thanks for this first of all the training sessions, and I hope we get more moderators, and then we people that have been moderating, I hope we, learn and are open to new ideas. My view is this, like I hear a lot, take take what you like and leave the rest. And there are, we do have varying opinions, you know, as CHOW members, and that's good because, I mean, if everybody agreed with everybody else, it would be a boring CHOW fellowship. And it doesn't matter to me, you know, how many years a person has or not, you know, and things do change and things can be changed. Okay, that's all general stuff. Take what I like and leave the rest. But crosstalk, I do like the idea of reading the crosstalk rules. You know, some things are like little tiny crosstalk things, and then other things can really mess people up, and it also has to do with anonymity too, and breaking people's anonymity. I also think that fellowship is very important because there's recovery and there's the meeting and there's the, you know, the big book meetings and the As Bill Sees It meetings, and then there's fellowship. And a lot, there is a lot that can be gotten from fellowship. You know, it's not only like, you know, a Lonely Hearts Club or something. It's people meeting other people, like themselves, other compulsive eaters. And I've heard people say that they've gotten, you know, a lot of their recovery from their fellowship time, and they've gotten, you know, the nerve to speak up and to get back into program and all that. So anyway, thanks for hearing me. I pass.
Thanks, Susan. And with that, we've concluded our hour here. If you didn't get to share, you can always send a comment or a question or an opinion to phonebridgemeetinginfo@gmail.com. Again, phonebridgeinfo@gmail.com. And we'll be happy to, between myself, Linda, and Adele, we'll be happy to look at your question and provide some feedback or some suggestion, direction for you. Or if you're having any issue with your specific meeting or any meeting that you are attending and you have a concern about or a question, you can always send it again to phonebridgemeetinginfo@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to address whatever issue you'd bring up. Nothing goes by the wayside here. Okay? But I want to thank everybody and thank Linda M. and Adele for participating as well. Everybody that asked a question and offered some advice, opinions, and suggestions, thank you very much. And this, it's been recorded, and I just have to remember to end the recording here. And so why don't we close with the Serenity Prayer. All those that want to unmute themselves, and we will close with the Serenity Prayer.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve and Linda M. so much.